We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
We're hunkered down waiting for Sean Salisbury. Do we have any more dimes or did we go through the full array?
I have another one.
Give me one
he's
more.
Not
give,
around.
Give me one more.
Kyle Shanahan is supposed to be this offensive guru, but it was the defense that shined in Sunday's win in Tampa Bay. How can Kyle Shanahan get the offense going?
Get a healthy quarterback who can throw to wide receivers. It's real simple. And when you do find yourself with the football in the end zone, make sure there is no flags behind you. That makes the day go a lot more smooth. And there were two instances where flags took away happy, shiny touchdowns, which everyone would have enjoyed.
I think be happy with the fact that they may have fixed the defense because that gets you wins just as easily as offense does. It may not be as much fun to watch, and it may be a violation of what you thought the 49ers should be with an offensive quarterback or an offensive coach. But if you can win games with defense, they count the same. The offense, if you can't figure it out in 2 years, yeah, you got a problem. But this is still not it's a team with working on its third running back again and no discernible wide receiver. So don't get your hopes up.
Ask yourself the question, if you're Kyle Shanahan, how many points did I get real, imagined, or donated by press for moral victories last year? And if the answer is none, then you should give no points for moral losses. And 31 points were on the board. Did the offense score them all? No. Did you win the game? By two touchdowns.
Did you cover?
On to Cincinnati.
Hell yeah!
By the way,
speaking of on to Cincinnati, can I just give you a little Bill Belichick talking about, and this was him on WEEI.
Is it talking about how he loves football and football season and all the things that come with it?
Well, no, that would be too much.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
This is even more in depth. Are you ready? This is more probing into a man's deep, dark desires to add true talent to a football team.
Well, we feel good about every player we add to our team. Otherwise, we wouldn't add him to our team.
Oh, I know, but he's really good.
Not sure around the following year.
No, I'm just saying he's a good player. I'm just saying your excitement.
Saying, why would we add a player to our team that we didn't think could help our team? I mean, what sense would that make?
Oh, no, it wouldn't, but this guy's a really good player. That's all. I'm just saying maybe you got really
saying
excited.
Every player we add, why would we add him if we didn't think they could help us?
He's literally arguing over nothing. He's arguing over two guys trying to admit, well, this guy's pretty good, don't you think? And he's like, well, of course he's good. He's on the team. It's the fact that he's good. We've got Sean Salisbury here finally. Ray, I'm looking forward to your reaction to that. But we do have Sean. We're a little bit late, so I want to get to Sean right here and now. You can follow him at Sean Unfiltered on the Twitters. He is the host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston, appearing on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Sean, it's always good to have you here on the show, along with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. Good to have you back here on the Damon Bruce Show. And before we get into the particulars of any one quarterback, can we start with Deshaun Watson, who was robbed by another Hall of Fame quarterback of a signature win in New Orleans last night? Is that prevent defense being stripped and led outside to be beaten today by every football fan in Houston?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The one thing you know going in, you always have a chance to win a game when you've got those type of studs. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Watson, Mahomes, those guys, you know, you got a chance. And when he does what he did last night, he sure as heck can't defend. He sure as heck can't rush the passer. He can't tackle Alvin Kamara. And he sure doesn't call with 6 seconds to go. You give the all-time leading passer, or most accurate passer in NFL history, a cushion. Even guys like me are going to find that cushion. You just can't do it. It was a horrible decision by Romeo Crennel and Bill O'Brien to let that happen. Because even if you make him out of his rhythm, guys, and make him hitch, just make him hitch once. Then the 2 seconds that they had left with the 6 seconds, and then it got down to two, he would have never been able to get the ball off and get a timeout and hurry down to get the ball. So if you just take him out of his rhythm, I don't understand. They already had somebody over the top. He wasn't going to throw it deep. All he wanted was to give his kicker a swing through it. What you do is you press him, take him off their mark, make him hitch, get out of rhythm, and the ball game's over. But that's Drew Brees. He's accurate. A very, very dangerous thing to see call.
Oh, Sean, your phone is breaking up on us just a little bit right now. Should we reconnect? Should we try to reconnect with Sean and push this off till one more segment? What do we, Albie, yes or no, thumbs up. Sean Salisbury is still here. Hopefully we got a better little phone call. Sean, let's get back into it. You were making your final point there and we lost you.
I'm here. No, I was just saying with Watson, he's going to give them a chance every single week. So, but they've got to shore up their protection. They've got to shore up their pass rush and their defense because they're going to get shredded, the Texans, if they don't shore it up. People, average quarterbacks will throw on them. When you run into the Drew Brees of the world, you're going to be in trouble. But I think I was more impressed than anything with the way they ran the ball last night, too. So they got a chance, but that was a heartbreak one to give away. And the Saints, who don't play well in their opener, stole one because they, with Drew Brees, you knew with 37 seconds left, guys, it was going to be trouble.
Monday night gave us a good one early, gave us a surprise performance, I think, late with how good the Raiders looked on both sides of the ball. Specifically, what'd you see out of Derek Carr this year that you weren't seeing last year?
Yeah, decisive. Decisive with the football and started fast. Decisive, started fast, jumped out, and then he got into a rhythm. And when you're an average player and you start fast, things go. When you're a good player, it looked like the Derek Carr from what, guys, 2.5 years ago, that the ball came out, he was throwing it accurately, and they did a great job of getting open and separation. And when that happens, you feel good. And all it takes, guys, is one of those type of performances. Now, let's be real. The Raiders are not going to be a team that we have to worry about in February this year. But if they can build this, and John continues to show aggressive confidence in Carr, and he plays like that, where it's decisive, and the truth is, they got problems out of their club, out of their locker room. They, you know, great player, yeah, but they got the trouble that's been a distraction the whole time. Now they can actually play football. It looked like John was in rhythm as a coach. It looked like Derek Carr was in rhythm of the guy that was an MVP candidate the 2.5, 3 seasons ago. I liked what I saw last night. The key now is sustain it and continue to build on it. But they did a good job, and you know what? When you give him time to set his feet and not take a bunch of hits, things are going to turn out well for Derek Carr. Played really, really well last night and started fast.
In keeping with Carr, the other commonality was that he looked decisive because he had time in the pocket to look decisive. Yep. And look poised and look in control. And a lot of that was an offensive line that did not let Von Miller and Bradley Chubb terrorize him.
Chubb,
yeah, I thought I said that. Yeah, and so my question is that the real revelation from last night, that this offensive line might be the same kind of offensive line that they had in 2016, the other time Derek Carr looked like the Derek Carr people think he is?
The direct correlation between an offensive line who allows you to be comfortable, to set your feet, and where your head, when you're reading coverage, you're not watching. The key is to feel pressure, read coverage. And you're exactly right. When you don't have people at your legs and you're not getting hit from the opening snap against two really, and in this division, the guys, there's some pass rushers now, and they neutralized them last night. And when you got the Saints offensive line, if the Raiders are in tune, if in fact the Chiefs, the Patriots, when your quarterback's able to stand upright and just make decisions and free flow, good things happen. No guy likes to get hit, and it's the unique dude that can get hit and still deliver the football and make plays. But there ain't many of those guys. So the big key for them is, and it'll also help the run game, guys, because then people start to say, well, how are we going to get to them? We'll pressure them. Well, then you hit a few of those, and what do they say? Well, we can't pressure them. You back off. Bingo. You can start to run the football and be a little more physical. And they've got a rookie who can flat-ass run it. So I like the push they got up front. When you let a quarterback set his feet and allow him to be decisive and you're going to throw people open, instead of hesitate and take three hitches and be indecisive, things are going to work. Make no mistake about it. Great quarterbacks in this league, most of them have clear feet and clear vision in the pocket and can deliver it. They had that last night.
They also had a better defense than certainly I expected, and I know there were upgrades there, but in particular, the defensive line was really effective, and it's mostly made of young guys that they've drafted the last couple of years. What did you think of the push they were able to get and you know, Cleveland Farrell's debut?
energy. And when you're playing against a guy that you know can't move, it's an idea because you know where his launch point is. And as much as I respect Joe Flacco, he's going to be what you saw last night. He's going to complete some. He's not going to, you know, he's going to be solid, but he's not going to be spectacular, and he's not going to move. So what you do is you know when you tee off, unlike Carr, who's got some movement, or Russ Wilson, or those guys who, when you change the launch point, bootleg, play action, pocket, three-step, five-step, five-and-inch, I know where Joe Flacco is going to be. So if you're a young, enthusiastic group that can get after it, you know you're going to meet him at the quarterback. Now, you may not always get there, but the pressures start to take their toll. I was impressed with their push. Now, they've got it, like I said, between the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos, there's some teams that know how to get after the quarterback, and the Raiders are the one nobody's talking about. Last night they did their job. Now they're going to be challenged more when you get a guy who can move like Mahomes and make those. But when you know where a quarterback's going to set his feet and where he's going to be, you study that on tape, see you at the quarterback. The Raiders did a nice job getting back and pushing Joe's face, and Joe will be solid all year, but he won't be spectacular. And they should have won the game. The Raiders did win the game, and they're a better football team, and especially when they play with that exuberance, those young guys trying to impress John Gruden. I liked the energy I saw on both sides of the ball.
Sean Salisbury here on 95.7 The Game. So, you know, look, last night, that game is about who was on the field, not who wasn't on the field.
Yep.
But Antonio Brown is, you know, a conversation that everyone's been having. You have been in this league as a journalist, as a starting quarterback, as a guy who knows it very well. You know what professional and unprofessional are. You know what normal is, abnormal is. Where are you on how he worked his way out of Oakland and to New England? Something up or just another crazy day of football?
Well, I think that I would say that, you know, the conspiracy theorists say this was all planned. I think there, I don't know if it was all planned. I think there was, I don't think he really wanted to play in Oakland. Do I think that he forced the hand by his stupidity? He's a turd. Great football player, but a turd. He's not a good teammate. Everybody's all great teammates. Great teammates don't leave their team hanging like that and get cut on a couple days before the football season starts and beg for it. That's not a great teammate. And leave their team in Pittsburgh in week 16 or week 17, 16 game when you're trying to make the playoffs. That's not what great teammates do. Now, he'll go to New England. He'll fit in. Bill will keep him on the straight and narrow, and he'll be a great player there. We know that with that quarterback. But I don't get in as a football player and teammate. You're not going to go to the media and say this guy's not, especially when you're in the same locker room. That's the place of Mike Mayock and John Gruden. They did the right thing by getting rid of him. I thought they were just late doing it. He tested him and tested him. So I sit in between on the, do I think it was all orchestrated? No. But do I think that he saw the big picture and said, I don't want to be a Raider. I don't like what's going on here. I'm going to pull this trigger and see if they all of a sudden will bite and beg for a release and be a pain in the ass. Every single thing he did since March was problem. There wasn't anything where he said, ah, great to have you, dude. It's really fun, other than looking last year's statistics and his touchdown catches. So, you know what? As a lifelong Raider fan, as good as he is, I'd cut his ass, too. I would have. And you know what? I understand why somebody else picked him up. He'll go be better there. And if he isn't, Bill Belichick will run him out quicker than Gruden and Mayock did. But the Raiders are better off for it. And the New England Patriots, I don't know how anybody's going to beat him if they stay healthy. That being said, I don't like the way he handled his business. I thought it was Bush League and weak, and his teammates deserve better, and so did the fans.
Sean, did you ever have a teammate who was on the fringe or edge of acting normal? And, I mean, like, how things were handled back when you were playing and how things are handled today, like with video production teams and Instagram, it's much, much different. How would you have handled this back in the day?
Well, I can tell you how it was handled. And I never played with the guy. Everybody has a guy with a little attitude. Matter of fact, I think everybody needs a team with a dude that's, when he walks in, you're saying, what's he going to be like today? Every team has that, you know, a different, no uncertain terms, a little bit of a whack job on their team. Hell, you got to be a semi-French fry short of a happy meal if you play football. All of us are. So that one guy, whether he's a linebacker or a special teamer, every team I've been on has one of them. But when you go above and beyond the call and you're orchestrating this and you're doing all these things, those guys that are normally like that are good football players and teammates. The guy who's overboard, the Antonio Browns, it'll last long in the league. And I'll tell you how it would have been handled. It would have been handled in-house. The coach wouldn't have to say anything. I was in the middle. I was sitting in a locker room, and I'll leave the two names out, of a Hall of Famer and another really good player that got in a knockdown, drag-out, double fist fight All Danny Green, when he walked down, it was quiet. He walked back up, surveyed. I guess he had heard through the grapevine. Walked back upstairs. Everybody took care of their business. We practiced, and not a word was ever said. But everybody knew, and it was taken care of. But you can't do that now. Because, that's not your business. Or, what if it's video? Or, somebody talks. So, yes, with all the social media, it's different. And social media can get you released, can get you kept, can get you hired, can get you fired. I've been on teams where the big fellas up front, he wouldn't have got away with that with Randall McDaniel and Gary Zimmerman and the old school Steve Wisniewski or Kevin Gogan. But that sounds like get off my lawn, old man. It's just different. It is. The athlete's different. The way you recruit him's different. The way you got to treat him's different. They wear watches that are $350,000 on the field, and they show up sometimes when they want. But you do got to draw a line in the sand. I'm all okay with one old school part of it. There are rules, and there are great teammates. And when you decide not to be, you decide to break them and not be a great teammate, it's time for the fellas to step in. Unfortunately, Oakland, it took them a while. That won't happen in New England. It wouldn't happen 20 years. Imagine doing that with Jack Lambert on your team or Ronnie Lott. Wouldn't have lasted, man. The player would have been, you wouldn't have had to have the coach say anything, and he wouldn't have been talking on the phone to him. He said, until you show up, it's not our business, man, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And Tony Brown, hell of a football player. As far as teammates go, I'll pass. Thank you.
I'm not even sure you could have done that with Olin Krutz on your team.
No. wouldn't have ended well. Keith Von Horst, all those guys, Randy Cross, it would not have been well for him. They'd have gotten lying in a hurry.
Yeah. Looking at the Niners win, it's been hard for us to decide how strongly we should feel about a defense after a performance like that against the Bucs offense. Because obviously, this Niner defense last year probably couldn't, we know, in fact, couldn't do that to Jameis Winston because he carved them up last year.
Yep.
Still, that's Jameis Winston over there. So how much should we believe in what the Niners have done to improve their defense?
Had they had 9 sacks in the game or had they got beat, I would not have read too much into it, just like I don't at any other position, just like even with the Raiders. Although when it's Von Miller and Chubb, it's a little different because you're dealing with two freaks and superstars. But I probably – it's something to build on. Guys, it's something to build on. I don't think the one game's defining anybody, but I know one thing about Jameis Winston. He'll bring you back into a game, and he'll also throw you out of one. So I think you take it with a grain of salt. You know the guy in New Orleans isn't going to do that. The guy in Seattle isn't going to do that. The guy in New England, the guy in Pittsburgh, they're not going to do that. So it's one of those things sustaining. So I always feed off the positive. You point out some of the things that need worked on, and there's plenty of work to be done. But I'd rather be going into my locker room on Monday watching film saying, hey, see what we did here? This is good stuff. And you can build on it because momentum does matter. Maybe not, you know, game to game, but the guys, when you're walking out of the locker room, feeling good about it. So they did some good things, but you also got to understand the source. It was Jameis Winston. If it's Blake Bortles, it's not Tom Brady. It's not Russ Wilson. It's not Pat Mahomes. So it will be different, but damn, I'll take a positive win and a good defensive performance any day. But Winston's going to throw it to the other team 20 times this year, 22 times. That's just the way it is. He threw 3 to you guys, and it won't be the last time he throws a pick, but I do like the way they got after it.
If one game doesn't tell you anything, how many games does?
I'm a big believer now. I think around the beginning of October, mid-October, 4 to 6 games in, you start to, I don't want to say define your team, but you know what their identity is. I have a hard time. I still, here in Houston, even though they played well, I'm not sure what I know the identity is quarterback. That is on most teams, but I'm not sure what their identity is. I don't think they are either. The 49ers, the Raiders, what's the Raiders' identity? It's going to be old school Raiders, get after it and, you know, get a few penalties, but beat your brains into the ground. 49ers be crisp and smooth. I mean, you know, we only got that to go on. So one game, I can see good things in a game. I just don't think there's a definition of a team. I don't, unless it's a team that's been together for a long time or had Brady there for 20 years. But I think probably 4 to 6 games in, you'll understand. We all will. A little better idea, the old Denny Green, we know, you know, they are who we thought they were, and I think you will, other than a few games, they'll start to define who they are and what their identity is. Every team in this league will. You'll know how Tampa is in week 4. Now, there's some teams we know. Miami, we know what their identity is. Tank and be horrible and do what they did to their fans and their players, and now just show up. It's preseason for them for 16 straight games. So we know what theirs is, but teams trying to compete, we're not sure what their identity is. But we will find out. Old school Steelers, we knew they liked to trap you and be physical. Raiders like to hit you, like to make plays, go out and have a cigarette in the locker room and then go beat your brains in. So I'm not sure the identity of either team right now, but you'll know in mid-October.
Sean Salisbury, host of the Sean Salisbury Show in Houston. Got to ask you about Jadeveon Clowney ending up in Seattle. What will that do to the Seahawks? And what will that do to J.J. Watt's career now that he doesn't have that focus elsewhere on that Houston defensive line?
That's a hell of a question. For Watt, listen, it's the first time in his career he didn't get a tackle, didn't get anything, that he didn't show up in the stat line. But I caution people because every time we've questioned him about injuries or team, he finds a way to go and get three sacks in a game and get four pressures and bat a ball. So I'm not willing after one game to say, man, Clowney's on the downside. But he's, what, 30, 31? They say he's getting to that point. But he's still going to be an energy player. As far as without Clowney, guys, Seattle won the trade. We gave up two guys. They got two guys that are just average players for him in a third-round pick. I think in Seattle they're going to use him the right way. I think he's going to play with a lot of energy. You saw that. He'll chase. He'll do those things. The biggest thing that they lost here, he's a great run stopper. Everybody talks about the pressures and all that. He is a great run defender. They didn't have that. They got gashed by Kamara. That's one thing Seattle's going to get, and the Houston Texans lose out. It'll affect J.J. Watt because you only got one guy you have to double-team, and that's J.J. Watt here, which means Whitney Merciless needs to get back to the way he was 2 years ago when we were talking about him as a big-time player and a double-digit sack guy.
All right, Sean, it's officially time for the most important question you're going to get all day. Who is the next athletic director at USC? And if they try to hire another former football player, will you be there to tackle that person before they can accept the job?
Yeah, let's hope not. It's time for USC to think outside the box. It doesn't always have to be, oh, if you're not part of the Trojan family, you don't fit in, screw that. I'm part of the Trojan family and a former player there. So I'm ready for them to go hire a pro athletic director. The guy was a pro, that he spent his life doing this and understands the business side, understands that when you hire a coach, you hire him because he's going to win and graduate players and go recruit. That's what I want. I want somebody, maybe somebody I don't even know his name inside the Trojan family. It's okay to go get the Graham Harrells, who's never been a Trojan, as a coordinator, and it's okay to go get an athletic director who's not part of that. And there is some arrogance, part of that school of, well, he's not one of us. We'll make him one of us. I hope they make the right decision because that athletic director has a gold mine with the Trojans. I'm okay if they go outside the, whether it's pluck somebody from another university or go hire somebody that we don't know much about. He doesn't need to be a former football player from USC. We've seen that movie, and I'm not ready to see it a fourth time.
Hey, it could be worse. You could be giving away four free tickets to come watch UCLA at the Rose Bowl.
And Chip Kelly, you think he needs some recruits? Yeah, you could be. And begging him to come because Katy High School right here in Houston – we'll have a bigger crowd on Friday night than the UCLA Bruins will over the weekend, probably. But it's still a rivalry game, so I'm not going to disrespect them because we got to play them. And they always scare me, but if they beat us this year, everybody will get fired at USC. Trust me.
There you go. He's always thinking like a quarterback, always thinking like a Trojan, too. Thank you very much, Sean Salisbury. You're a good guy. You're good people, man. Always love talking football with you.
I appreciate it. Sorry I was a couple minutes late. I was training a quarterback. Thanks for your patience, fellas. I appreciate you.
You're the man. Sean Salisbury, again, here ever in Houston. Check him out. Sports Talk 790. When we come on back, we got people on hold. Fantastic. We're going to be taking your calls. Guess what? We've also got Ned Coletti coming up at 4 o'clock. Ned Coletti's a name that should be familiar with an awful lot of you. He used to be an assistant general manager for the San Francisco Giants. He was the general manager for the Dodgers before that gave way to Farhan being the GM. His next endeavor is going to bring him to the San Jose Sharks, believe it or not. Is sports talent universal? Can one GM in one sport find talent in another? We're going to talk about all of that with Ned Coletti coming up at 4 o'clock. Right now, you want talent? Good. We got Elena. Hello.
Hey, what's happening on the game? Brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. Week one is in the books, and both Bay Area teams are 1-0 after the Raiders handed the Broncos an L on the national stage. No AB, no problem. Terrell Owens weighed in on AB earlier when he joined Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Most of the things that he's done has been self-inflicted. To say it was a mastermind orchestrated to get out of Oakland to land with the Patriots, I don't think that was the case.
Check out T.O.'s full interview on demand at 957thegame.com or on the radio.com app. You can also stream your favorite shows live using the radio.com app. Just download it to your phone and favorite 957 The Game. Don't miss legendary NFL writer and 957 The Game NFL insider Peter King when he joins us today at 5 o'clock. sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food, and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. I'm Elena Matsourakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you back here on the Damon Bruce Show. Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky along today. We've got people on hold to talk to. We've got a little news to share with you. When Bill Belichick gives up on you, it rarely works out for the player. Demaryius Thomas is now a New York Jet, making room for Antonio Brown in New England. A rare trade between, I would call it bitter rivals, but the hammer and the nail really are not rivals. They just work together. Adam Schefter is reporting that the New England Patriots have flipped Demaryius Thomas to the New York Jets, I almost said Mets, for a 2021 sixth round pick. There you go.
That's a couch with a sign on it that says free on your front lawn.
I'm not even sure. The hammer and nail, is that even dramatic enough? Like, what's a more inequitable relationship?
I don't know.
Because you're right. I mean, it feels like they should be rivals. We know the Belichick thing. And yet, Mark Sanchez was the last time this was even interesting.
I don't want to take a single thing away from what is, without a doubt, the high watermark of football dynasty. What the New England Patriots have done over the last 20 years trumped the Pittsburgh Steeler run, trumped the San Francisco 49er run, trumped the Dallas Cowboy triplets run, trumped whatever you wanted to say was the greatest football moment. The Patriots are now the top shelf liquor of this league historically. They truly, truly are. There's no doubt about that. And it's because Belichick is a genius and Brady is maybe the best to have ever done it. But part of their success is occupying a division that hasn't been able to tie its own shoes straight and tight enough in over 25 years. The Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, and the Buffalo Bills have all sucked for so bad, for so long, and any inkling of danger that any one of those franchises ever presented, the New England Patriots came and went like flash paper.
It's so ridiculous that we've reached this point where there's cute jokes about how the Dolphins managed to improbably steal a game from them once every 3 years.
They do. The Dolphins actually beat the Patriots. You call it the old, you know, the South Beach got the New England right. Patriots the night before.
Once every 2 or 3 years, they lose a totally improbable game to the Dolphins. And other than that, their greatness is just taken as par for the course. It's just this is how the NFL works now. The Patriots are great. Everyone else tries to figure it out. And that's impossible in any sport. But in this version of the NFL, with hard caps and the level of injury and turnover that happens, A, that Brady's been playing this long, but B, everything around him has changed over this 20-year stretch. Every single thing around him, they have not had a down year that whole time. It's remarkable.
More to the point, their lack of a true rival anymore, because I don't even think you call Pittsburgh that anymore. I think that's done.
They've never won in Foxborough during Brady's career.
Yeah. I mean, the AFC East has put 9 teams in the playoffs that weren't the Patriots, and that's since 2000.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's 5 times 9. That's 95. That's essentially 1 in 10. I mean, that's almost like they should play in the Sun Belt.
The NFL by design doesn't have a lot of easy games out there. Yeah, there's one or two oh my God, this is a historically bad Cleveland Brown team, Detroit Lion sure. team, Oakland Raider team.
Buccaneers here and there.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. The New England Patriots, unless you really want to argue ticky-tack nonsense with me, are the only team in football that wakes up with 8 easy games every single year.
Six
easy games every single year. 2 against Miami, 2 against New York Jets, 2 against the Buffalo Bills. That's probably 5-1, even if we screw it up. Worst case scenario, 4-2.
Boy, I can't think of the last time it was 4-2.
Right?
I mean, be honest with you. They have dominated this division more than the Atlanta Braves dominated theirs, more than the Yankees dominated theirs, more than the Montreal Canadiens dominated the NHL. They have had zero down years in this century.
Yeah, they dominate like Duke dominates the ACC in basketball almost. Except Carolina will pop up.
Carolina and Duke
share
that. Oh,
here's Virginia.
Yeah. I don't think there's any...
They're Alabama.
Yeah, but Alabama gets threatened from time to time. Auburn will rise up and screw with you. Georgia will from time to time. New England is not that.
Their last losing season...
They're De La Salle.
Was the year 2000.
Now you're on it.
2000. That was their last losing season. Since then, they've been 9-7 once. Every other year, double-digit victories. And mostly 11 or more. 1 9-win season, 2 10-win seasons. Otherwise, 11 wins or more. That's a 19-year stretch if you include this year, since they're almost definitely going to win 11 games or more.
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
This segment sponsored by Barron's Jewelers. Get 5 years free financing on any Tacori purchase at Barron's through October 15th on approved credit. See Barron's in Dublin or online at barronsjewelers.com. I did that for you, Elena. I didn't do it at the beginning of the segment. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Got that in there for you, though. 888-957-9570. We got Leroy in Oakland. Hello, Leroy. What do you got?
Hey, what's up? Bruce, Rado, Kulski, great to be on. Hey, I was sitting around with my friends last week, and we were watching preseason, and I had the task of watching the Raiders and to pick something out that I thought they would be great at, because I'm a 49er fan, and I posed that same challenge to my friend to do with the 49ers. And what came out of it that last preseason game is I looked at my friends and I told them, I said, hey, look, I don't know what that offense is going to be, I said, but that defense is going to be pretty good. I mean, they were just jumping off the screen. And I hate to say it because I'm a big Niner fan and I rib my Raider fans, but that defense is going to be good, Bruce.
Look, they're flying to the ball. I mean, I don't know what it's going to mean when they see a much better team and a much better quarterback with much better skill position and a much better offensive mind in Andy Reid than you got in Vic Fangio making his head coaching debut, and it looked like he gagged on the playbook a little bit, or at least his offensive coordinator did, or his quarterback did. But they flew to the football. I mean, you couldn't help but notice that. They did. The preseason evidence, they weren't even playing against, like, the last preseason game you saw them play, they weren't even playing their NFL players, and the other team wasn't even playing their NFL players. You watched a game full of guys who ain't on football teams today. So I don't know how much you really can take away from anything in the preseason. Last night was impressive. Last night was better than we thought. Last night was more swarming than I ever assumed it would be. And I'll tell you, I'm glad that last night wasn't nearly as scary as it looked in the moment where Gerrion Conley got his neck compressed by the Abraham leg whip that was officially 4 or 5 minutes longer than you ever want to see that situation go. That got into the, this is scary, very, very, very scary land before you got that thumbs up from him. And the good news is that Gerrion Conley today is feeling, he's feeling all of his extremities. Thank goodness.
Better than that, they're saying he might play next week, which, I mean, seems insane, but
he's a football player.
At the very least, it tells you that it's nothing like what it could have been or what it looked like when it happened. Because, yeah, football's terrifying. And when stuff like that happens, like, I get a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. Like, am I watching someone lose the use of their limbs right now? It's not comfortable.
It's the compressed neck, too. It's not the bent neck. It's not the – It's when the neck gets just pushed down into the shoulders, that's when it's so scary. And oh, man.
And, you know, Ryan Shazier, we saw it 2 years ago. So it ought to be fresh in everybody's memory, and it ought to scare the hell out of everybody. And I'm not as sanguine about him playing on Sunday. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But I think everybody's opinions about that have changed in the last 5 to 10 years. I don't know how much to applaud it and how much to go, I'm not sure that's a good idea, but I guess we'll find out on Sunday.
Ned Coletti is going to be joining us, a little baseball and, believe it or not, a little hockey with Ned Coletti, who is stepping out of baseball front offices to step into an NHL scouting department that is the San Jose Sharks. You don't see an awful lot of career transitions like this. It is reminiscent of Paul DePodesta maybe leaving baseball to become one of the decision makers for the Cleveland Browns. We'll bring that up with Ned. He joins us around 4 o'clock today when we come on back. Believe it or not, Kevin Durant is in the Wall Street Journal. We're going to have to see what he had to say. I'm sure it's also complimentary of his time here in Golden State. We'll get into that next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to the Damon Blue Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome on back. It's good to have you here. Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. Today, we've got Ned Coletti joining us at the top of the hour to talk about the transition he's making from a baseball front office to the hockey rink. Sounds kind of nuts, but we're going to talk to Ned Coletti about that in just a little bit. From the text line, what about Jonathan Abram? This whole thing with Gary and Conley last night could have been avoided. You know, assume you're Gruden. What are you saying to him today to keep him under control? Look, Jonathan Abram is a heat-seeking missile, and that's exactly what you want out of a safety. And Conley was dragged along for the ride by the wide receiver, and there was no negligence to Abraham's play that jeopardized Conley. It was just, your leg hit the top of his helmet as he was getting dragged by the guy's belt line as he's trying to tackle him. Like, it was just, I mean, sometimes the word accident is the correct and only way to describe what happened. And I thought that that was a pure on-field, in-real-time accident that's really, really hard to avoid.
But and it's the helmet-to-helmet thing right before then, though, that I think is the issue, not with Conley's injury, but Abram is that player who's going to get a bunch of helmet-to-helmet penalties because being a heat-seeking missile in 2019 does not provide the same rewards as it did in 2009. That's where the problem is. I mean, the Conley thing is absolutely an accident. I mean, utterly unforeseeable. But everything else about that, he needs to be talked to. He needs to be talked to a lot because so far, he hasn't seemed to get it. He wants to be the heat-seeking missile who is becoming obsolete in this game.
If you're a coach, you got to be very careful about turning that light off, though.
Oh, I understand. But that's why he gets $10 million a year to figure out the message that will work and still keep him an active, aggressive player.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with Gary and Conley or even with that play. I think we knew Jonathan Abram needed that talk just from watching Hard Knocks.
Right, he needed it in the first practice.
Yeah, and I think that talk is going to be an ongoing thing with him, and we will see. That probably is going to be what determines whether Jonathan Abram has a successful career or is out of the league in 2 seasons. Is in today's NFL, you can't be Brendan Merriweather. You have to be able to show restraint, and maybe a team will hold on to you for a year as you try to learn that restraint, but if you don't figure it out pretty quickly, you're going to be out of a job because it doesn't matter how hard you hit if every time you do it, your team gets penalized.
By the way, sorry if I went biblical and said Abraham. Abram. Let's get it right.
You know the message needs to be, who needs to deliver the message? You'll laugh. Fontaze Perfect.
It's probably true.
I mean, look, this is the guy who stepped in and separated Antonio Brown and Mike Mayock.
Peacemaker.
Well, I don't want to go that far, but he's clearly a guy who, based on everything we've seen and things we've not seen, is not that guy anymore. Now, he may snap again, but for right now, he's been the model citizen that people keep saying he can't be.
So we were just talking with Sean Salisbury, and he was talking about Antonio Brown when he said, in a weird way, every guy needs that, like, loose cannon about to fly off the handle presence. Vontaze Burfict is what he means, not Antonio Brown. Like, the guy who plays on the edge of the rule book is exactly who you want in the middle of your defense. Like, that's how great defenses come together. This is a gladiator sport. This is a savage sport for savage men. That's what this is. And to try to take the savagery out of football is like trying to remove the gravity from skydiving. It's just a really, really tough thing to do. It's part of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
when
they punish you for it, the lesson has to be learned, because at that point, you're not the only message you're sending your team is, you need to walk back 15 yards because I just gave the other team that much.
And also, you know, I think it's symptomatic, right? If Vontaze Burfict, and not to pick on him, if player X can't stop delivering those blows that fall on the wrong side of the line, that doesn't have – I don't think today's NFL appreciates the guy who occasionally takes that penalty as much as the NFL did 10 years ago or certainly 20 years ago. There was an attitude before of get your hits off, and if we take a penalty here or there, so be it. And now I think it's
– the Drago theory. If he dies,
right,
he dies.
If he dies, he dies. Now it's if you take a penalty, you're not going to be on the field much longer because those yards matter. And I think that is more the attitude of today's head coaches.
And it has to be. It has to be. You have to be teaching the game. You have to be teaching it through the new rule book. But again, the player who's thinking is almost by definition the least effective player on the field. You want it to be reaction. You want it to be instincts. You want like uncontrolled aggression, which is really hard to control in the parameters of a rule book that seems to almost ignore the fact that in any tackle, leaning with your head is like a natural physical act. When you're bending at the waist, your shoulders come down, your head comes down. When the player is running at you, looking to gain momentum and fight for an extra yard, his head down, his shoulders down. And I'll say this, it's a lot easier to say who is right and who's wrong when you slow this thing down, look at it in slow motion in real time. It's a tough call to make sometimes. It really is.
I grant all that, and all the rules are unfair to defensive players all the time. But the fact is, they're telling you over and over and over again now, all those skills, you have to unlearn them. You have to teach yourself not to use them. And if you can't do it, your coaches need to teach you. And if they can't do it, then either they need to be fired or you need to be fired.
Hey, so much more on this. And I said that we were going to get to Kevin Durant, but we kind of missed the window because Ned is here a little bit early. So fantastic. We'll get to Kevin Durant talking to the Wall Street Journal in just a little bit. But here's something I didn't think I was going to say. Let's talk hockey with Ned Coletti.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.